you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. If you don't have a Bible, the passage is available for you inside of your bulletin. In fact, I'd like you to have your bulletin accessible because I also want to make reference to the Old Testament passage and the epistle reading from Numbers and Hebrews, respectively. It's marvelous to see the continuity of sacred Scripture, how the Old Testament fits with the New Testament, and how a single message of the redemption of God's people is communicated throughout the whole. So this morning we'll be focusing upon John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6 as our principal passage, a famous passage, probably including verse 6, arguably the most widely known or the most read verse in all of Scripture. Some would say John 3:16, but I don't know a verse aside from John 14:6 that communicates more comprehensively the essence of the gospel and the whole of the Christian faith. The Lord Jesus Himself saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Excuse me. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for these moments and for this fourth Sunday of Advent, and we pray now that your Holy Spirit would enlighten our minds and renew our will so that, Lord, we might seek you, know you, fall down and worship you, and be blessed this Christmas. Lord, we wish to see Jesus and Him alone. Forgive us of our sins, for there are many. Lead and guide us into all truth now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reviewing some of the songs that people sing at Christmas time. Famous songs. There are obviously lots of hymns and other such songs that are sang not only in the church, but also in the world. One of those songs is, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." I'll be home for Christmas. It's been sung for years. I read the other day that Elvis Presley and Whitney Houston and Jordan Sparks are among the many superstars who made a recording of this famous Christmas song. It was recorded originally in 1943 by Bing Crosby. And what a lot of people don't know is that after it was an overnight sensation, the more carefully people read it, they realized it was a war song. A war song, written out of the context of World War II in 1943, probably the height of the conflict. People longed to get home for Christmas. It's the whole point behind the song, "I'll be home for Christmas." One of the lines, if you read it carefully, says, "Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams." One could picture a GI or soldier in a foxhole or dealing with death and pain, thinking to himself, "Doesn't really matter where I'm at or how bad things may be, I'll be home for Christmas." Because wherever I'm at, whether it's in Europe or in the United States, the star that the shepherd saw will remind me of the Lord Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus will find and rescue me. I'll be home for Christmas. One of the things I love about these three passages that were read this morning is they all have something in common, and that is a house. The house of God. The Apostle Paul spoke of the house of God in Hebrews chapter 3. First, before that, way in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 12, Moses was discussed as a prophet. In fact, when you look back in that passage in Numbers, it says that God's people would know that Moses was faithful in all of God's house. He was special. My question this morning is, where will you be for Christmas? If you sing that song, "I'll be home for Christmas," that sounds good. Some of us have good memories of Christmases past. Some of us have perhaps good memories coming up. Some of us may not have good memories at all of Christmas. Where will you be for Christmas? I think some people would turn that song around and say, I'll be anywhere but home for Christmas. There's too much strife, too much drama, too many bad memories. Some people would say, I'll be drunk or stoned for Christmas. Life has been cruel, painful. I need something to dull the pain. I imagine others would say, I'll be depressed for Christmas, or I'll be lonely for Christmas. I'll be stressed for Christmas. And some people might say, I'll be relieved when Christmas is over. I don't know how you feel about Christmas, or if you're looking forward to Christmas, but what struck me this past week in my studies is what I believe all three of these passages communicate, and especially John 14, that you can be home for Christmas if Christ is in home in you. You can be home for Christmas if Christ is at home in you. No matter where you are, spiritually, emotionally, physically, I think the Bible is clear that if Christ is in you, you're at home for Christmas. Very quickly, I just want to review these passages once again. In Numbers chapter 12, Moses is distinguished as superior among all the prophets. And all the others the Lord has used for His glory. God's Word says in Numbers 12, as He speaks to Miriam and Aaron, who basically formed a coup, and said in that passage, who are you, Moses? God has appointed us to speak on His behalf too. So God called Miriam and God called Aaron out and He said to them, listen to me, Moses enjoys a degree of intimacy with Him. He speaks face to face with Moses. Every other prophet, I give them dreams, I give them visions. But with Moses, my servant, I speak face to face, for he is faithful in all my house. That is, Moses was the quintessential pastor, shepherd, and leader. And later on in Hebrews chapter 3, you find that as the theological momentum continues, there's somebody greater than Moses, and that's the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3, the writer says, therefore, holy brethren who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. But Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. The writer of Hebrews compares Jesus to Moses, and he makes it clear that Jesus is superior to Moses, that he enjoys a greater honor than Moses as the builder of the house. Moses was faithful in all of God's house, but the Lord Jesus is faithful over God's house. Read Scripture carefully. See, as great as Moses was as a leader and a shepherd and a prophet, he was a part of God's house. And the writer of Hebrews compares Moses to Jesus, and he says, Jesus is not a part of the house. Jesus is over the house. He's the builder of the house. And that house is you and me. You'll notice verse 6, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are His house. So in summary, the writer wants us to fix our thoughts and our minds and attention on Jesus. Moses gave us the law, but the law was a means to the end of the Christ who kept the law perfectly and died for all of our sins against the law. And so you come from the law into the epistles, into the gospel. The Lord Jesus tells us of Himself. One of the most stunning passages, I think, in all of the New Testament. I want to point out three issues this morning from John chapter 14 as we consider this whole theme of being home for Christmas. Where will you be for Christmas? Where will you be, not just physically, but spiritually? Maybe this will be another Christmas just to come and go. You'll be in the same condition you were in as many other Christmases. Not close to God, not even knowing God. I believe this passage gives us some real keys about Christmas. Three issues I want to raise concerning the Lord Jesus that relate or address the matter of all of us finding a sense of home this Christmas. Not only physically, but most importantly, spiritually. The first issue I want to raise is the issue of peace. The issue of peace. Look at verses 1 through 3 with me. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." Now, if you look at that passage in its context, you'll find that chapter 14 is right on the heels of chapter 13. And in chapter 13, we find Peter saying, "Lord, I'm ready to go and die for you." And Jesus tells Peter, "Are you? Or will you? I tell you the truth, the cock will not crow three times and before you deny me." And sure enough, Peter did deny our Lord. He couldn't do it on his own. I don't know about you, but I need the peace of knowing Jesus and following Jesus as my own. I need Him. These verses offer enormous comfort. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't you get tired when people tell you that? There's really nobody that can say that with any authority except Jesus. I was reading in a Christian publication I received in the mail yesterday. This woman had lost her home. She was deep in debt. Her car was broke down. She was sick and ill. And Christian friends, one by one, would call and offer scripture verses. And that's it. Kind of like I've said in the past, take two scriptures and call me in the morning. That was their form of Christianity. Nobody would jump in and help. I think it's important that we listen to the words of Jesus. Don't let your hearts be troubled, because He's really the only one who has the authority to say that. Don't be troubled. Why? In my Father's house there are many rooms, many mansions, as the King James says. And then he goes on to say, I'll take care of all the arrangements. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You see, Moses, as great as he was commissioned and appointed to lead the household of God into the promised land. And as close as he was to the living God, he failed. He sinned in the wilderness, and he died in the wilderness, and Joshua ended up taking the children of God into the promised land. And all along the way, God's people sinned. They messed up. Here is the Lord Jesus saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. Trust me. I will take you to the ultimate promised land, which is heaven. And not only will I take you, but I'm going there ahead of you to prepare a place, and I'm going to come back and take you myself to be where I am. It's the complete picture. It's the picture of God's grace. It's the picture of peace. I don't know about you, but I need peace today. There needs to be peace in this world. I turn on my television set or look on MSN on the internet and I learn about a world that is at war. People bombing one another over in Iraq and other places in the Middle East. I look in the United States and we have a political war going on. Everybody's fighting to get elected. And the mudslinging is just beginning. I see financial upheaval and people worrying about their homes and their cars and their monies and portfolios. But then I look in my own heart and I realize that's where I really need peace. You and I need peace this year. Only Jesus can offer that. So I want to challenge you to take Him at His word when He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Because He's the only one who can offer that sense of peace. Well, not only the issue of peace, but also the issue of preparation. See, when Jesus comes and says, I want to give you peace. I don't want your hearts to be troubled. I don't know about you, but I can look at myself and say, my heart is troubled. I look at my heart and I don't like what I see. There's sin, and it has to be dealt with. But Jesus does that on my behalf. That raises the second issue, the issue of preparation. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with myself. I love Jesus' preparation. When He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, you have to remember in sacred scripture that heaven is already prepared. He's not talking about the construction of heaven. He's talking about the destruction of Himself. Heaven is already completed. The Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. King James Version uses mansions. It's fundamental to understand that the Father's house is a people, not so much a place. And heaven, the Father's house, doesn't need to be prepared for us. We need preparation for heaven. And so when Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, what he is referring to is the cross. Because, ladies and gentlemen, heaven is perfect. That's why in Revelation it could talk about streets of gold and gates of pearls. It's already there. But Jesus didn't go to establish all that. Where he was going was the cross. Because heaven doesn't need preparation. We need to be prepared to go to heaven because of our sin. Preparation. That's what Advent is all about. Getting prepared for the visit of the Lord Jesus. Jesus went and made preparations for us by the cross. You know, when you have somebody over for dinner, you make preparations. I don't know about you, but Diane and I clean. You clean the house. You clean the bathrooms. You clean the closets. You clean the bedrooms. You do all of that. You clean the kitchen. Everywhere. Scrub the windows and tiles. You don't live like you normally live. You clean everything up. That didn't come out right, did it? I'm going to be in the doghouse. Let's just say you clean it more than you normally clean it. Now, my wife does a great job cleaning the house. I love to be in my house. I'm going to be in the doghouse in a little while. But when Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, he's not going to run the vacuum cleaner or clean out a closet or scrub the tub. He's going to the cross because the scrubbing and the cleaning is here, not out there somewhere, not in a house, not in heaven. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And see, that relates to peace, folks, because peace is not at the end of a problem. It's at the end of yourself as a person. And you and I reach the end of ourselves and we realize we can't make life work out. That our money or our network or our job or our identity is not who we are ultimately. That we are at the end of ourselves. That's when you experience peace in the Lord Jesus. But you see, life is a matter of preparation. We always like to think that if I just get a certain amount of money, if I get to a certain place in life, then I'll have peace. We always want to reach a finish line or a finish point. But that's not what life is about. Jesus never stopped making preparations until the day he died. You and I will not stop being prepared for heaven until the day we die. Life is not about being problem-free or stress-free. It's about preparation for eternity. Stop longing for home here. Jesus is preparing us for a place in heaven. He's already died for our sins, and now he is sanctifying us so that we may fit into one of those many rooms as part of the household of God. Peace is at the end of yourself, not at the end of a problem. Moses was great, but he sinned and died before he could get the Israelites into the promised land. Jesus never sinned, but he died for our sins. And he's coming back to take us home. You struggle today? You have problems and difficulties? I know I do. You have a to-do list? I never rest until I get that to-do list finished. The problem is, when I get down to that last item, I have to add five more. And I think there'll be peace when I get that to-do list done and I can lay down and take a nap. No! The phone rings or something else happens. Or there's a catastrophe. And I want things to be wrapped up right now. I want paradise here on earth. Jesus says, no. I've gone to prepare a place for you. And life is an experience of being prepared for heaven. To be cleansed and regenerated, and then to be sanctified. To experience holiness throughout life. Well, Jesus brings peace. Jesus brings preparation. And finally, the issue of his personal presence. Jesus speaks of going to prepare a place for us. and coming back to take us to Him. Now, amazingly, the place, or heaven, is not the main point or attraction. It is being with Jesus, or being where Jesus is at. Notice the double emphasis in verse 3. Look at verse 3 with me. I will come back and take you where? To be with me, that you also may be where I am. I imagine a good grammar teacher would correct Jesus and say, stop. Jesus, why state the obvious? You just said it twice. Well, I imagine he stated the obvious because we don't get it through our heads very easily. That heaven is much more than no more crying, no more tears, no more pain. Heaven is much more than streets of gold and gates of pearls. Heaven is the presence of Jesus. And that's why the writer of Hebrews made it clear that we taste of the world to come right now if we know the Lord Jesus and His personal presence with us. What's going on in your life this morning? Is there guilt? I talked to a lady the other day who feels so guilty. Parents made her feel guilty all of her life. I think about the Lord Jesus and His presence because Jesus takes away the guilt of our sin. Are you afraid? You afraid of what tomorrow holds? You afraid of losing your job? Are you afraid of losing your money or your health? Maybe your anger and bitterness has taken over. Listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus tells us to come to Him. I will come back and take you to be where I am. Listen, heaven is not getting the mortgage paid. Heaven is not paying all of your bills and having a little left over. Heaven is not a beach house on the Gulf or a chalet up in the mountains and those golden years of retirement. Heaven is the presence of Jesus. Now, there will be all those other physical and tangible elements one day. Folks, right now, the Bible makes it clear. You want to experience heaven, you need the personal presence of Jesus. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Where are you this morning? Where are you? Will you be home for Christmas? The real material question is, will Jesus be at home in you, in me? One of the marvelous things about Christ is He never tells us to go somewhere. Don't you get tired of that? I called my mortgage company the other day. Press 1 if you want to pay off. Press 2 if you want to add to your escrow account. Press 3 if you want to add to the principal. Press 4 if you're interested in a new mortgage. Press 5, and it went on and on. And I pressed one of the buttons, and then I got another list of 10 buttons. And after those buttons, I got another list of buttons. And somebody was always telling me where to go. Jesus doesn't tell us where to go. He invites us to come to Him. And that's why the words in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Long time ago, a young woman came into a church, single mother, raising kids on her own. She wanted to sit down and worship Jesus Christ. But the kids were screaming and yelling and out of control. And one of the ushers came forward and said, ma'am, there is a nursery for you to take those children to. She walked out of the building and onto the nursery. And as she was coming back, she was crying. One of the persons stopped her and said, ma'am, what's wrong? That I didn't need somebody to tell me where to go. I needed somebody to help me. To help me. That's what the Lord Jesus does. He doesn't tell us where to go. He says, come to me. That's why He said in Matthew 11, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And when you fall and you sin and you blow it, get back up in the race. Come to me. Because what you need, if you want a taste of heaven, if you want peace, if you want to understand what this life is all about, you need me. I will give you rest. And I will sustain you in this life as you prepare and are prepared to spend an eternity with me in paradise. Will you be home for Christmas? Will I be home for Christmas? I pray that Christ will be home in our hearts so that we'll all enjoy being at home for Christmas this year. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the words of the Lord Jesus. We ask that you would apply them to our hearts. Remind us of his glory. Remind us of his sacrifice on our behalf. Remind us of the peace that he offers. Lord, I pray earnestly that you would give every one of us, pastor and people alike, that sense of peace through a personal relationship, trust, faith, and repentance toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, work in our hearts, regenerate our minds and our wills, save us, and sanctify us as we marvel the precious child that was born in Bethlehem this season. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.